What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There you go. It is Dukes and Belsey. Chris, for those who don't know, Chris did for Carl today. Chris Thomas is Chris's big dance music fan, big EDM guy. And this was a tune that was, this is the, now, Arnold F, showing my age, this was the club banger, you know, back in the day at certain clubs, you know, in the city and in Long Island, Big Hair. Remember being on stage and Marty Lyons came in from the Jets.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, it's a Summers Beach Club.
Wow.
Without even knowing this song, Chris, you know this song. This is one of those songs that, like, the first right. couple lines are so iconic that you just know.
Oh, yeah, I know this song, yeah.
Does it feel... Yeah. And this is one that, yeah, I mean, this was like the soundtrack. This is like the soundtrack of the 80s. Because I know everybody laughs. I talk about when I worked in the Hamptons, and everybody rolls their eyes. And I say, oh, God, Mike's on another Hamptons tour. Well, it's really kind of cool. Because here I was, this knucklehead, my first radio job. And you meet all these celebrities and really neat. And this was, like, playing in the background everywhere we went, practically.
I could have survived in the 80s. I like this.
Yeah, so, and then this, you'd slow this down, you'd pitch up, you know, pump up the volume, and you got yourself a mix. And there you go, kids. We all did it in the old days, analog. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell into the 4 o'clock hour, which is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Guys, a reminder, Buffalo Wild Wings, you can swing in there, guys, and you can get it to go. Order Buffalo Wild Wings, go and pick it up on your way home or for your next event. As we mentioned, Carl's a little bit under the weather today. Weather's been brutal. This is just downright depressing. We had like that little mini spring, and my compadre, C. Dukes, he called it. He said, this is a fugazi. The groundhog was right. And now just cold, raw, and just bleh out there.
Yeah, the walk from Midtown was not great.
Well, you're wearing shorts, you nitwit. I mean, you gotta, some days you got to wear long pants there, Sparky.
You're right. You're right. I'm a stubborn mule when it comes to it. I really am.
No, I mean, this is. We joke around. I mean, I thought you'd break out like your dress sweats for the work of the job today or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, break out the old Nike tearaways.
Hey, man, we all know what the Eagles got. They got a rugged physical defense, and it's dominated by, you know, Georgia Bulldogs. Yes, they also have Alabama, you know, Crimson Tide players because, you know, Howie Roseman gets the SEC, which a number of general managers here in Atlanta don't. Listen to what Mark Schlereth has to say. It's all part of our dog report. Yeah, I was driving to work today, and I heard Andy Rende talking to Stink, and Mark Schlereth was talking about, you know, and you heard Mike Smith, former Falcon coach, in an interview saying, yeah, it's hard to pass on Jalen Carter. But guys, we're not making this, you know, one of these, you know, sort of moratoriums or ultimatums about, oh, it had to be Bijan, you know, or it had to be, you know, Jalen. You know, no, that's not it. I would say that both can be successful. It just displays the philosophy of the Eagles and the philosophy of the Falcons. And we'll talk about why it happened. First, listen to what Mark had to say about what he sees with the Eagles.
I'm telling you what. Like, I tell you, man, I called a Eagles game just, a year ago. I was doing an Eagles game, and I was walking around those guys. And I'm like, dude. Like, this is like that one of them Sesame Streets. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. That was me. I'm like, I'm freaking, like, those dudes are ginormous. Jalen Carter, stop it. Like, I was like, oh, God. And to be that big and that strong and that level of athleticism is – it's ridiculous. Yeah, man, they got some – they're turning players out. And Howie Roseman's just like, screw it. If they're coming from Georgia, I'm drafting them.
Right.
Because those dudes are well-coached in college. Those guys understand transition and what it takes to play in the NFL. And those dudes are pretty NFL-ready.
Here's the thing, Mike. Why do you make something so simple, so complicated? We'll have the opportunity potentially for the Falcons to do this again. We're going to bring the car back around. We're going to swerve it around and try again. If either Mykael Williams or Jalen Walker are there at 15, please, please.
Now, what, it all goes down to the combine, and there's a lot of folks who are saying Mykael Williams will just blow doors at the combine the way that many Georgia Bulldogs have, and that he will be the guy. And by the way, I was butchering the English language. Moratorium. We'd like to put a moratorium on drafting people from Montana.
Yes.
But this, I'm not trying to make this a referendum. That's what I meant to say about, you know, Bijan versus Jalen Carter. Both can be stars. We love Bijan. He brings intangibles, leadership, and all that. At the time, you've got to go back to where we were a couple years ago. The aftermath of the car accident. Jalen Carter, remember his pro day, he was not looking good. And I just thought that maybe, and I said on the radio at the time, right or wrong, the Falcons aren't going to touch him with a 10-foot pole. You know, whether that's, you want to call that the Falcon filter or not, and I know a lot of our audience will roll their eyes at that. I'm just telling you the way it is. They were probably scared off by some of that stuff, and they really loved Bijan. Our general manager is predisposed to the offensive side, but you know, Mike Smith talked about it, saying, "Wow, that's just an amazing talent. He's that force multiplier, makes everybody around him better." Even though he didn't have stats that showed up, everyone else like Josh Sweat was popping on that Eagles line because of the work that he was doing, commanding double teams.
And you know what else that means, Mike? They trained him well. They don't only bring him in,
right,
but they train him well. That's something that the Atlanta Falcons have not been able to do. You bring in these guys, Arnold Ebiketie, why is his ceiling 6 sacks? You bring in guys, why is Lorenzo Carter, a guy who you say looks the part in every way, shape, and form, not doing anything?
Now, that's a Georgia Bulldog, and unfortunately, you're right.
Just
didn't pop. That's why, as we said, we've had the conversation this week about all the draft classes the Falcons have had, and just 12. 10 plus 2 is 12 Georgia Bulldogs drafted in 58 years of NFL drafts, some of which were 17 rounds long. So I'm not saying, as we said, to draft a Bulldog for Bulldog's sake, but it's just about the philosophy. Jalen Hurts talked about it postgame, about all the dogs and the culture, and and you hear it, Mike Smith and all these other guys saying, and Schlereth said it, these guys come out of the box, ready to go. They're coached by Kirby like the way they were coached by Saban. So the same thing you would do drafting defensive players from Alabama, the same reason you draft defensive players from Georgia. And, you know, Mykael Williams, if he really goes bananas at the combine, he's probably not going to be there when the Falcons select at 15, and we don't have the juice to move up. The only thing we could do, Chris, is move back in this draft.
Which
we never do. This team's never. Now, again, I know that Carl gets on me for stop talking about the past, but I'm just telling you, if past is prologue, they've never in my lifetime as a Falcon fan moved back. It's always moving up.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Not only is it that, but they have been stuck on the same damn philosophy since Terry got here day one with their draft, especially in the first round. It's best player available, and it's been offense, 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 and that's been part of the issue. So is this the year that the buck finally stops and you gain some common sense and some knowledge and say, hey, listen, our offense is going to be just fine. We need to use this pick, number 15, on the best defender available. No. On the best defensive lineman available.
Right. And so, look, if you feel that it's Jalen Walker's got a higher up ceiling, a ceiling than Mykael Williams, then okay. But it just seems like this is a year. And this wasn't, you know, as we know, Georgia's defense, Mykael was banged up a little bit earlier in the season. And this wasn't one of those elite seasons for Georgia in the trenches. Otherwise, they would have won the national championship, which brings us to talking about what Kirby had to say. And where was this interview?
Dog Nation.
Nobody has as much depth in college football as they've had in previous years. They never will again. Kirby said, and this was back the week of the Sugar Bowl. They were talking back the big picture, kind of lamenting the transfer portal. But Kirby kind of spelling it out that you'll never have a roster like you got to coach at Alabama. We just talked about it, where we had 3-4 guys that were capable of playing. You had sophomore and junior offensive linemen that were waiting their turn. But they were NFL talent. That's not going to exist. I think, you know, we know it. Kirby's just kind of put it in black and white for you.
Yeah, and the one thing that really sticks out to me, Mike, is the offensive line. because if that was the case, like it was in the past, as Kirby laid out there, the issues wouldn't have been so persistent, I think, with some of the things going on with Carson Beck and specifically the running game. Because, again, if you had 2 and 3 and 4 guys that were chomping at the bit ready to go, when they were put in, they would have made the difference. And we saw the guys that were put in this season, Mike, just not the same.
Yeah, that's why I'm always harping about the coaching staff. See, this is where guys will start yelling at me. Yeah, you're going to fire everybody. Well, again, you had Sam Pittman, really good, got the Arkansas job. You know, Matt Luke was really good before he left and then got back in the game. But, you know, this is a guy, Stacey Searles, who's good, but I just don't think the play either is there or it's not. What happened in the Sugar Bowl? Notre Dame was living in the backfield. They were dominating your offensive line. I mean, to the point where you couldn't do anything you wanted to do. And if you wanted to establish the run, which I still think they should have tried more, that's on Bobo. But Chris brings up a great point. This is a year where basically Kirby's laying it out. Georgia's not going to be a 2-1 or 3-1, even though the odds makers will have him at it. It's basically even odds for all the elite teams, the top 10 or 15 teams in the country.
Yeah, because you're not separated. That was the great unequalizer, to right. use a word that doesn't exist. Basically, it was not that certain teams like a Kentucky couldn't hang for a little bit, but that was why by the third quarter, midway through, right. that was why you were getting all these blowout games from Georgia, because they knew that their guys were able to rotate in and out and you were not having the drop-off that you have right now. And Mike, we keep saying, who's the next Jalen Carter?
That's it.
He hasn't been
there. Well, I mean, who's that Bear who wound up transferring to USC?
USC, and now he's...
That's kind of like the old school transfer portal that we talked about, Carl, and I think it was on Wednesday or Tuesday show or Monday show, about in the old days there was the stigma about the guy who transferred. Now it's the price of doing business, because you can be successful. There's no more of a stigma about it. Well, what's wrong with this guy? He wouldn't compete. Sorry, I just did the John Wayne voice again. That's twice in 2 days. But the point I'm getting to is, Mike Kirby just laid it out.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to wait their turn anymore if you can go make, you know, six figures in NIL. No way. And why would you? So you better coach them up. You better have the better mousetrap, and you better have the best players. So I was debating this the other day at the gym. Got a buddy of mine's a Gator fan, and we were talking. I said, look, and he said, yeah, you're talking dogs. I wasn't like giving him bouquets. I'm challenging him to be better. I mean, DJ Lagway is right now better than what Gunnar Stockton is.
No, I agree.
By what metric wouldn't he be?
I agree.
I don't think there's even those diehard, even the bald guy who paints a UGG on his head would have to agree that, you know, even right now, Lagway's, you know, is the total package under center, and we're still waiting to see what Gunnar Stockton's going to be. Did a hell of a job pressed into service against Texas in the SEC championship game. And then, I don't know whether you want to say game plan or just the failure of his teammates to execute, but you can't definitively, as a dog fan, tell me that Gunnar Stockton can do what Stetson Bennett did. Right, or even what Carson Beck did.
Let me ask you a question. Is it 100% that he's the starter next year?
Kirby, well, again, if you got one start and the other guy has no starts, the guy with one start's going to start at Georgia.
I guess so. But, I mean, you got some real talented guys in that room. Puglisi's there.
Right.
I mean, they got guys that are going to be chomping at the bit to get a
chance. Still one more transfer portal window after the spring game, so we'll see where that one goes. But it would be interesting. A couple guys, dog fans, can hit us up at 404-726-0929. It's just the good news is you got back-to-back natties. And just as this whole sea change, this earthquake of college football was going down, and now – not saying, of course, we're not saying Georgia. Georgia, when Kirby's doing what he's doing with his coaching staff, you know, in the past you've won national championships. I'm just not as sold on his current coaching staff that they're the best of the best, sir.
Well, yeah, but that's, you know, as you just said, that's a good thing, honestly, because that's a reflection of the success of your program.
Yeah, you know, guys are going to come and raid your talent.
Yeah, your top guys are going to get poached, so it's up to Kirby now. Now these are the years where Nick Saban, to use that equivalent, really established himself as the best to ever do it, because, Mike, he kept losing coaches, but they kept winning. Right. And that's what Kirby needs to prove.
Certainly the Dogs will have a little bit of an easier start with you got two patty cakes before you get into the meat of your SEC schedule. And we talked about strength of schedule yesterday. A couple guys were having that conversation Carl and I had about, you know, when are they going to go to the 9 game? They just got this new contract, and it's for 8 games. So why are they going to give it to ESPN for free in ABC?
They're not.
And why? And by the way, since last time I checked, College Football Playoff Committee did not reward strength of schedule this year. Certainly not at least the last few weeks when it mattered. We'll come back. We're going to talk more NFL because we're always talking pro football here on Dukes and Bell. Benjamin Albright works in Denver, is always around the NFL. We'll get his inside shot on surprises in the draft. Where's Kirk Cousins going to land? Everything else about Super Bowl II coming up next. Text message, you guys can always hit us up at 404-726-0929. A lot of stuff we've covered today. Started the show talking about the Falcons and, you know, getting physical and getting the size on the defense. And, I mean, if not now, when, as Chris said, as far as Fontenot and Raheem Morris and Jeff Ulbrich evaluating the defensive talent. And what do we got? And I was joking around with Carl yesterday. Show me what you got! You know, Al Pacino talk. Yeah, we didn't got much. It's a lot like 16 in the sense that you got a great, or what we perceive to be a great offense. And Zach Robinson is second year, and they get more comfortable with Michael Penix Jr. But the idea that you've got to find some starters in this draft, but you don't have all your draft picks. Again, guys, remember we lost the third on the Matthew Judon, we lost the fifth on the Kirk Cousins tampering, and the sixth was part of a trade, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
right. Which one was that? Was that Mac Hollins?
I'm not sure.
I gotta go back. Yeah, if somebody we picked up, I'll find it. But anyway, for whatever reason, what we got is three picks. We've got four picks. We got 1, 2, 4, and 7. We're missing three picks in this draft.
Yeah, and it's really going to come down to a decision that we've been talking about: is will the Falcons finally bite the bullet and decide that because of that, trading down is the best option? Now, I guess I would be fine with it, but I guess what it comes down to, Mike, do you trust that Braylon Trice coming back is going to be able to make an impact on this team. Because if not, then I think you need to garner as many picks as possible. But if you do, then I think you can be a little bit more conservative with your approach and not just try to stack picks and take the best defensive player available on the draft, the best defensive lineman is what we really should be saying in the draft.
Right.
And then between a fresh year of Trice, whoever you pick this year, if we're going to believe the experts, Arnold Ebiketie finally breaks through.
Right. Then He's been good. He's been okay.
Yeah, then you might be cooking with something. But as it stands right now, I don't know.
Well, that's I mean, guys, we want to be positive because it's funny. I had one guy hit me up earlier on the text line. He goes, man, you're just being all Nick. Well, I mean, guys, you haven't been at a winning season in 7 years. You haven't been in the playoffs in 7 years. And we've just talked about the big picture here. I mean, we're betting on if, what, and, oh, yes, please, hope so. You know, if Troy Andersen can stay on the field. You just talked about Braylon Trice. I was really excited. Braylon Trice, remember, there's two guys we got from Washington, the offensive captain and Michael Penix Jr. and the defensive captain and Braylon Trice, who just checks all the boxes and he's, you know, he's a stud. And that's what we joked around earlier about D-Led. I asked, D, what do you think, man? No, I don't know about that. So
I really hope he's wrong.
Yeah, D's lukewarm on it, but I like him. Carl, I thought, liked him too. But you're okay. But now here's a guy that we're not that familiar with, and how does he respond to an ACL coming off that injury that happened in the preseason against the Dolphins? So that's part of it. You know, you look at your D line. You know, Onyemata's okay. I mean, Chuck Smith was on with us. You know, he can't talk specific because he's coaching now for the Ravens, but he did say a good defensive line needs to have more size and more big bodies than the Falcons do, as witnessed by what the Eagles just rolled out in the Super Bowl.
I don't think Onyemata's back next year. He's the one guy.
I think that's a cap casualty. Yeah, I think that would be one. We like Caden Ellis. I just didn't like the way Jimmy Lake used Caden Ellis. And we would ask Coach Ra about it each week, and then later on we found out that, you know, Ra was probably a little more involved in the defensive game plan. It seemed like that's when Ellis seemed to have more of an impact. You think there's any correlation there?
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Yeah, because Caden Ellis turned into a monster once Raheem Morris got his hands on the defense. And by the way, Mike, I don't think that gets talked about enough. Because if you really think about what that meant at the time, that meant that everything that you worked on leading up to that point was moot. Because essentially your whole game plan was scrapped because the head coach said, hey, no, guys, this is not working. We got to fix this thing. Let me get my hands dirty in here. So everything that they worked on with Jimmy Lake in training camp and in the offseason, I'm not saying they changed everything, but all those valuable reps that were gotten by guys essentially for naught. Because you're putting yourself in a situation now where your defense simply wasn't working. And that was the issue.
Right. We talked about at one point getting on that nice run where we were getting to the quarterback. So we finished, you get a lollipop. We finished the second worst team in the NFL as far as sacking the quarterback. A.J. Terrell was really good. Look, give us, I say this a lot of times because I think sometimes you've, to that texture, you're too negative. We said it last summer. We're doing those shows at Hooters after camp. I said, I'm not sold on this secondary. I'm not sold on this cornerback room. And Mike Hughes kind of, at the end, got exposed at times this year. You know, and that was, and he's been with us for two seasons, but a bigger role as a starter. Clark Phillips, we love his energy, but he's still too undersized and is not that great in the nickel package. We just, and we talked about Simmons not working. We need you need a couple of things. You actually need a couple of pieces for that secondary, let alone what we're going to do on the D-line.
Yeah.
And hope that your linebacker core stays healthy.
I would argue three. I think you need your second starting cornerback. You need a nickel, and you need a safety opposite Jesse Bates, because certainly Justin Simmons didn't do enough to say, I want to bring him back, especially if he's going to want big money. So, and again, Mike, then the next question, and then another thing.
And then another thing.
Then the next question sits in. How are you going to parse out where you get that talent from? Do you value taking a cornerback in the second round that you figure could be a plug-and-play, day-one type of guy? Mm. Or are you going to try to give money to that position to a veteran? What are you going to do at safety? Is that a position you feel is the third rung of the most important between your line, your linebackers, and then your secondary? You got to figure, if you're Terry Fontenot and everybody else right now, that's what you're sitting there right now, looking at your cap space, the numbers, and parsing out what they're going to do where.
Free agents, guys, I assume that, we know Lorenzo Carter's not coming back. Are they going to keep Drew Dahlman? You know, instead of they going to try to upgrade that position?
I would hope they would upgrade.
Let's see, Ross Dwelly, Taquan Graham. This is from the Falcons website. Richie Grant, these are all unrestricted free agents. Richie Grant didn't work out. I mean, he inconsistent at best. You know, we love him. Again, another guy, great energy, fun to talk to, but not consistent. Eddie Goldman, this is what I love these conversations. Everyone's like, well, we got to have somebody in this defensive rotation. But how do you look at some of these guys and say, why am I bringing back guys that couldn't get the... They were one of the worst defenses in the league.
And Goldman was, you know, remember he was in, he was out. He came back from retirement twice. I guess, look, I don't have access to that 22 film, and if he really popped and was doing the job, he and Taquan Graham and Street and the other guys, don't know. We talked about Onyemata. It's just, it's a whole lot of meh on that defensive line.
Yeah.
Just a lot of meh.
I think you go young, honestly. I think Dorlus gets run. I think Arororo gets run. Grady's really the only guy. And again, I hate to say it this way, but that's something you might need to look at.
Right. And we get into Grady restructuring, Grady maybe giving some money back. I'm not telling Grady how to play his game, but it's just, that's one where it's a question you got to go with. We talked about Pitts. You know, would you trade Pitts to get something? Is there a market for Pitts? Does somebody feel that Pitts is just misused here and we're just misunderstanding Pitts and someone's going to unlock his potential?
Well, there was
if I get an extra fourth round, third pick for Pitts, adios.
Well, there's a team that was just in the Super Bowl that might need an upgraded tight end if their guy decides not to come back.
Mm. I mean, shoot, he could just go there and, you know, he's on his rookie deal.
He's on the last year five, they picked up the fifth-year option.
I know every time we talk Falcons, it comes all the way back to Pitts. That's just, it's been an inconsistent piece, and we've got a lot of guys out there that just stand up. Look, I get it. We like Pitts. We talked to him on the show, you know, but it's a low-energy guy, you know? Low-energy. He doesn't have it. Doesn't have it consistently. Now, if you want to continue to say, well, he still has not had great quarterback play because Kirk Cousins went to a four-game tailspin, and you saw him connect for a touchdown in the Commanders game and a beautiful throw from Penix, what is he? You know, the two touchdowns against Tampa Bay or the other six games where you don't even know he's on the field?
Well, here's the thing, too. The model that they were using, we just saw work because the Giants did this. They took Saquon Barkley number two overall, and he just won a Super Bowl. He didn't win it with the Giants, but he just won a Super Bowl and could have arguably won an MVP. So I think the Falcons were looking at that model and saying, hey, he was one of the best backs in the league for the Giants. We could take a skill position player that high, and it'll work out for us because we believe what we saw at Florida, this guy's going to be that good. Well,
yeah,
he hasn't been.
I mean, it's to me, when we debate the Kyle Pitts, it's not like it's 100% a slam dunk answer because you can make the argument in his defense that Zach Robinson puts Drake London where, you know, maybe Pitts should be, but they're using the Rams sort of schematics. And so Drake's kind of taken up the real estate. I've heard Randy McMichael talk about this, that maybe Pitts would be better suited. Then we talk about the want to. There are times on tape where it looks like he's lazy. There's no other way to describe it, guys. Not running the routes crisply has been commented by announcers who call their game. Then there's this, the size element. Carl brought this up yesterday. You know, I mentioned Rodney Harrison. He said on national TV, a guy that big and athletic champ can't be that soft. Talking about Pitts, you know? So, and Carl brought it up. How do you not just simply use your athleticism and just swat away a corner, even a safety, because of your size advantage? And if the refs throw a flag, okay, but use some muscle out there, man. Or is it simply a combination of all that and he has an awful quarterback play, getting him the rock? You know, Matt got him the rock. He was a 1,000-yard receiver. And then he had, you know, he got hurt after halfway through Mariota, and Desmond Ridder couldn't do the job reliably. And then last year, Cousins broke down.
Well, now, if that's the running theory, then there's no more excuses this year.
Right. Or, I mean, then or I guess I'm just making the argument for a team that might take a flyer on Pitts. All those things they feel are part of the equation, and that Pitts is a tremendous talent that can do more for them than he ever did here.
Yeah, and it's so funny, too, because we talk about all these draft picks and everybody that has and hasn't worked out, and you just juxtapose that to what the Eagles just did, Mike. I mean, hit after hit after hit.
Well, I mean,
after
look,
hit.
It's a contact sport. You know, the idea that in the Major League Baseball, you know, taking that and applying it to the NFL, that was Belichick's idea. Give me as many draft picks as you can. And sometimes that's part of what the Eagles do. Other times, it's simply go with a proven entity. Take the guys from the big schools who just smash everybody in college. Not that complicated, you know. And that's it. And we've played the same card that Dimitrov used to play. We always go for the shiny pieces, offense, yes. And the Eagles have a great offense, and they got a bargain with Jalen Hurts in the second round. You know, there was a lot of confusion. He was a boom or bust guy. Remember pre-draft, the stories about Jalen Hurts? He's panned out. You know, they got a tremendous offensive line. They lose a Hall of Fame center. They roll right on by, don't they?
Yeah, by the NFC Championship game, they were on their third center because Dickerson was going in and out of the lineup. And Juergens was going in and out of the lineup, too. So by the time the Super Bowl rolled around, you were relying not even on guys that you drafted to be there, but their backups. And that, Mike, even brings us all the way back around to what we were just talking about with Georgia.
Right. getting these dudes in here with whether you like Jalen Walker, you like Mykal Williams. If either one of those guys is there at 15, I can't imagine coming to work on that Friday after the first day of the draft and not having people going like, you know, DEFCON 1 on Terry Fontenot. Restricted free agents, Dee Alford, Nate Landman, Ryan Nuziel.
I bring him back.
Yeah, I like the job he did. I know that a guy that I like, I thought that Storm Norton is a nice piece. Yep. You know, they got to pay for that though. You know, you got to keep these guys in the mix because we've had one thing. I give credit to the GM. We've got good offensive line depth. We just don't have the impact players on the defensive line. We got bodies. We don't have guys making the plays. Appreciate your passion, guys. A lot of Falcon fans hitting us up about the odds. I'll give you more on the numbers about the Falcons and some of these bets because I'm going out there tomorrow. It's also coming up in Guy Talk next. This broke late in the day yesterday. Did John Rocker really get into a fight, a dust-up with Patrick Mahomes' dad?
Mm.
Well, I spoke to Rocker yesterday. I'll tell you what he said coming up next. Hey, man. Falcons made a minor move today. Happened about 15 minutes ago. Former Auburn standout, is it Killian Zierer? Anyway, he played for Auburn. And he's a big boy. He is 6'7", about 312. He was on the Texans practice squad the last two seasons. So that's a body, that whether that's just simply a body for your roster offseason and depth and all that. But anyway, a dude that did play in the SEC and played offensive line is a big guy. So they've added that to the depth chart for the offseason. So just make a note of it.
I like
He also grew up in Germany, too, by the way.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like big men that could potentially guard our quarterback, so that works for me.
6'7". You'd have an enormous Schweinsteiger. With that note, it's time for What? What, Oren? It's a line from Young Frankenstein. Come on. Yeah, man, no, man. All right, couple of things for you. First off, what's grinding my gears today? Carlos, I had him laughing yesterday with this, but off the air, I'm going to share it today. You're not supposed to use your freaking hazard lights on when it's raining.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not technically illegal in Georgia. It is illegal in other states in the South and around the country because when it's kind of misty out and you get your hazard, you can't tell if you're making a turn signal, you're hitting your brakes, and you're not letting the other motorists really know what's going down. If it's that bad for you, get off the road. Then pull under the bridge until it's less heavy. Guy in Tesla in left lane on 85 coming to work today. Come on. Yeah, you. Yeah, that guy. Just, by the way, I know that there are guys who drive Teslas, and they do take advantage of the incredible low end, the torque, which you can blow almost any car off the line because of the way they're designed. But, I mean, why do you stay in the left? Why does everybody in a Tesla I come across drive 55 in the left-hand lane? It's unbelievable.
Maybe that has something to do with the type of people that buy Teslas.
That's you. Chris said that. I didn't say that. Look up, look up the battery thing on that, and then you tell me what's better to be. Never mind. But just get out of the freaking left lane and get your hazard lights off. Because, yes, it is illegal. Now, real quick, Oren, jump in here. You brought us to our attention yesterday in the 6 o'clock hour. Now, this isn't a fight. A fight is when somebody throws a punch and lands a punch. Yelling at somebody while somebody holds somebody back is just guys yelling at somebody while somebody holds somebody back. And that's what I saw with John Rocker, allegedly, and Patrick Mahomes' dad.
Yeah, so both of them were in New Orleans for Pat Mahomes Sr. for the Super Bowl, John Rocker down there for Super Bowl activities, I guess. But both happened to be on Bourbon Street one night, and they approached each other, and there were some words that were exchanged, and it looked like one of them had to be held back, one John Rocker, and Pat Mahomes there was some finger pointing and some aggressive lunging, if you will, but no fisticuffs, no blows were thrown.
Oren, I need to make one correction. You said both of them happened to be on Bourbon Street.
Happened to be on Bourbon
they didn't,
Street.
They didn't happen to be on Bourbon Street.
All right, so what do you know about this fracas?
This is for an upcoming Barstool Sports event. Rough and Rowdy, which is their boxing arm.
Okay.
Because if you followed on social media last night, they both put out corresponding tweets.
And that's when I texted John. I said, hey, hotshot, was all that stunt down in New Orleans with Mahomes' dad? John sends me shrug emoji. Then I hit him back and I said, well, if it turns into celebrity boxing, we'll have you on the show. And he goes, yes, you will, Mike Bell, wink. So there you go. So this is happening?
I believe so. It hasn't been announced yet, but as Barstool likes to do, they like to make a bunch of, I'll use our word, shenanigans
right.
surrounding their events. So this was a way, because normally.
So you're feeling like they say in wrestling, this was a work.
It was a work. Because, Mike, let me ask you this. Are you going to pay pay-per-view for a Pat Mahomes Sr. John Rocker fight?
By the way, Rock, I know the camera adds 10 pounds. Rocker looks like he could play linebacker.
Yeah.
Rocker's always been a guy that's a big dude, but he looked yoked.
He stopped eating and lifting since he played baseball. My gosh.
Yeah, man. I will say this. I mean, one thing about John, have you ever run into him in a Georgia game or anywhere else? I've never seen John with anything less than an 11 on his arm. It's unbelievable what he went his life. But anyway, I digress. So we'll see where this comes to some kind of pay-per-view event or something there with Barstool.
It was basically saying, well, now that we have this whole social media scandal surrounding it, now are you interested in buying it for pay-per-view?
You know what? I still feel like such a schnook for buying the Tyson-Logan Paul fight.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, so dumb. You know, I didn't, well, check that. I didn't pay, I mean, it's not like I dropped $69.95. I mean, I have Netflix. I'm paying, what is it, $12 for Netflix, whatever I got. But I mean, just that I watched it. You know, that I spent time. What's the man say? That's like 2 hours of your life you can't get back. It just, that's where we're at, though. You know how much we love, Carl and I always talk about how much we love boxing. We had such a great relationship with HBO and its prime. Nothing against Showtime or DAZN, but just nothing seems to have the juice like it did when HBO was running the show.
No, and now, what was it? Or in the other Paul brother called, the fight got called off with Canelo Alvarez.
Canelo, yeah.
And because
Canelo
he got
a chance to go Saudi fight.
Arabia?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and now that one's dead, and that was going to be the latest thing that everyone was going to have to buy. So, Mike.
So basically, Canelo, he's fought in all these different weight, because Canelo is kind of like where Roy Jones. He's got to move up and down and to make fights in different weight divisions. He obviously fought, when he fought Floyd, it was probably too early in his career. Maybe a little bit later, things have been different, but Floyd's going to run around anyway. But yeah, so Canelo's looking for a payday with Logan Paul, but it's not happening.
No, it's not happening. And Mike, like, what year was it? Was it 2018, 2019? When did boxing just become a spectacle?
Well, because no one even gives a flip about the heavyweights. Always remember the late Bert Sugar always had the big hat on and the cigar. And remember Orrin, how many times you come on the show?
Said the heavyweights. Those are your showstoppers right there.
America loves big cars, big breasted women, big dinners, and big boxers. That's his words, not mine. Oh, some of the things I'd agree with, but Bert was talking about the heavyweight division as always the bell cow for boxing, and we had the British guys that never wanted to fight each other. And so we, like, with Joshua and with who am I forgetting? The
Fury.
Gypsy. Yeah, we never got the Fury-Joshua fight when we should have. You know, just like we didn't get the Canelo-Golovkin fight when we wanted it. We got to wait, like, you always got to wait, like, 3 or 4 years for these fights. And then everyone just jerks around, and you don't get what you need. So that's why this celebrity thing has kind of been created. And everybody who can, look, as we say on the show all the time, support everyone's hustle. But, I mean, a guy with a YouTube channel, and look, Logan Paul's a big boy, and he can handle himself, but I would love to see him go up against a real boxer in his prime, you know? Because when he fought, was it Fury's brother he fought? It wasn't good,
yeah,
right?
No.
Yeah, he won by decision. Or then Floyd, like, floored him, but kind of held him up after he knocked him down, though, so.
Yeah, it's just not my cup of vodka. And a lot of guys, whenever we talk boxing, I'll get guys go, yeah, MMA! I used to love UFC. I'm just not as much into it. I can't lie to you, man. I'm like, come on. I ain't going to lie to you. I mean, I say it all the time. That was a time when I go out to Vegas way too much, and we go to a lot of the UFC events, and I just don't follow it. And Carl's much more up on it than I am, but I haven't paid for a UFC. When's the last time you paid for a UFC pay-per-view?
It's almost like both the sports are devoid of, like, just those big personalities.
Well, I was just about to say, who's the star in UFC?
Exactly,
right now?
Exactly.
You haven't had one since Conor.
And I know that there's guys out there that will give us a bunch of names, but yeah, I mean, the dude from, you know, Bukistan, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of guys from, you know, South Central Asia, and they all kind of like morph into one or the other, and I don't know who these dudes are, man. So just trying to keep it real, just not been my cup of tea of late. Now, on to more shenanigans in Vegas. The odds. A lot of guys reacting to this 60-1 thing, and a lot of guys saying that, wow, Vegas is being generous to the Falcons, having us at 60-1. Guys, we had a decent season. We were 6-3. We all know how the wheels came off, but I think Vegas, you know, right now, just doesn't know what we are because they don't know what the draft's going to be, don't know what's going to happen with some of our free agency, if we can make free agency moves. But we are living in the same world as the Cowboys. FanDuel's got us at 55-1, and the MGM has us at 60-1. The Cowboys are at 66-1 at MGM.
Mike, this was the most disheartening thing that's been said all week because you're telling me that Vegas views the Atlanta Falcons with Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback and the number 15 overall pick waiting in the draft as the same as the Brian Schottenheimer-led Cowboys?
Look, they got us in there with Seattle at 60-1, Arizona at 66-1. Jets are 80-1, by the way. And then, real quick, story about Kirk Cousins to the Jets. Where'd you hear that?
Yeah, so Rich Samini, who's the main beat writer for the Jets for ESPN, made his prediction about who the Jets' starting quarterback is going to be next season. And this was his prediction. Falcons cut Kirk Cousins, pay his whole salary, and he signs with the New York Jets for $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're going to get him off the roster, guys. There is no trade forthcoming. One guy just hit Chris on the text line going, what we should do is trade Kirk for
Sauce Gardner. Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, we'll give you Kirk Cousins. And, well, first we got to give you some bath salts to sign off on that, and then we're going to trade Sauce. Guys, everyone knows you don't have to do anything with Kirk Cousins. Okay, he's got guaranteed money here. The Falcons want to get rid of him so fast for all the nonsense that he pulled. Basically, that he lied, he misrepresented things. Even if some of the coaching staff knew about it, he makes us look like a bunch of idiots, and I don't think they did. And as, you know, we've heard Randy talk about it, and I heard Mike Johnson talk about it. By the middle part of the season, everybody is banged up. But still, to pull his stuff, to be as bad as he was, and then sit there and go, I was hurt. When you would not answer those questions, and you would actually even misdirect to the point where you'd say, yeah, that designation about the injury report, oh, that's
I'm good. That was a bit of a clerical error.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be so gone on March 12th, which is the beginning of the NFL year. And that's when I think they just simply cut bait and we mitigate the cap hit as best we can. And then somebody, if you want to get into a bidding war for Kirk, it's what, 1.5 versus 2 million?
Yeah, I mean, maybe the Raiders, maybe the Titans.
I saw that yesterday. They said Brady was interested, or like, it sounds like Brady's really kind of running things, but they're interested in Sam Darnold, you know, in Las Vegas, potentially, if the Vikings don't come correct.
Isn't that just more of the same of what they've been doing? They gave Garoppolo all that money, Gardner Minshew, Sam Darnold. I mean, get a real quarterback in there, man. That to me, Mike, seems like spinning their tires if I'm Tom Brady. But who am I to judge the 7-time Super Bowl champ? If that's his guy, that's his guy.
All right, man, how do you bet the All-Star game this year in the NBA? For many years, it's been one of the easiest bets to win. It's the over in the NBA All-Star game. Matter of fact, I looked it up during the commercial break. The last, 20-some-odd years, from 2005 to last year, the over hit 12 out of 18 times in the NBA All-Star game. Okay. One of the times it didn't was, of course, the year with Kobe, when they had the Kobe score and they actually played some defense and put some effort into it. Last year, guys, the over-under was 358 points. It was 397 combined.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, so that's where when you start to look at where I'm just trying to figure out, I'm asking you, how do you handicap this? Should I put some money on Team Chuck now that we know that Trey's on it? When I get out there and see what the odds are?
I like their roster. I'm not going to lie.
Joker, SGA, Wemby, Pascal Siakam, Karl-Anthony Towns, Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young.
I mean, you have Karl-Anthony Towns.
Alperen Sengun, too.
Oh, and he's arguably a top three center in the league. I mean, you have Trae Young throwing lob passes to some of those guys at the rim. I mean, I would take that.
So looking at the odds right now, Shaq's team is plus 135. Chuck's team is plus 190. Kenny's team is plus 340. And Candace Parker's team is plus 850.
Yeah, the longest odds, because that's going to be the member. That's going to be the team made up of the young stars,
yes,
including if we see Reese Hoshea pop and see who's going to be the guys that really do their thing in that young, what they call the rookie challenge game, whatever that is.
Oh, yeah, the Rising Stars.
Rising Stars. Yeah. Oren got it right. But hey, man, so that's, I just like to, there's a guy I know runs a car wash in Buckhead. I'll tell you, that was the greatest bet, one of the easiest bets to make. But now you can't make that bet.
Mike,
nobody played defense in the NBA All-Star game.
While we have a minute here, I just got a very interesting text on the text line.
Okay.
Someone writes in, Mike, can you tell Turtle in the audience about John Rocker's parade of smoke shows when he used to do a segment with you back in the day?
I'm just telling you that John, and he's in a loving, committed relationship with a very lovely lady. But John in the past, I mean, whether you like the guy or not, his hit list is insane. It's DiCaprio level impressive. I'll put it that.
Wow.
How's that? I'm a soul of my dad. Never seen Rocker with anybody less. And again, for women out there, it's what's on the inside that matters most. But from a purely aesthetic side, John just, he crushes it. He absolutely crushes it.
So he has a Jeterian level of
yes,
of Ross.
Yes, I think when you say a DiCaprio-like game, that's Rocker has it. I mean, I've seen it, and if you've been around, you've seen it too. I'm just put it out there. Another guy hit me up and says, "Hey, Mike, put me down for 500 on the." Oh yeah, well, send it to me. Okay, let's go. I'm going to spend like $2,400 placing bets for guys I'm never going to see at Twin Peaks or at Hooters.
Venmo or it doesn't count.
Yes. I mean, that's getting, I want to see some Venmo action on this because we joked around about every year we place the bet. There's real quick, just I got time for one more, Oren. The Hawks, Carl and I were getting into this earlier in the week. Since they've got on their four-game win streak, the Hawks over-under for wins has gone up to 37.5. Now, the problem is if they win tonight against the Knicks, that'll go up to maybe 39 or 40.
No.
And then, I don't know.
That's a little, that I like 37.
Right, because right now, how many games have they played? We just did the math on this. They played 54 games.
So 28 left.
27 after the Knicks
after
game.
After the Knicks, yeah.
So to get to, you'd still have to be under 500. You'd have to play right about under 500.
What was it, 12 and?
Yes, 16.
16?
So 12 and 15. I should not go down this road because years ago, for those who don't know, I had a really crazy night of craps. Back then it was at the Hard Rock. And then we took the money over to Caesars, and I placed the bet. And for guys who heard the story, bear with me. Sometimes we get new members of the audience. So you get $5,000. I'm like, you know what? I said, Becky, this is how we're going to redo the bathrooms. Back then it was in the condo we lived in Midtown. And the over-under was 36.5 victories for the Hawks. And that's the year that John Collins had the 25-game suspension, and it came up short. But anyway, when I placed the bet, because you always remember those bad beats, I placed the bet. And they got to take the boss has got to come in and sign off on the action for $5,000. And he goes, "Oh, great freaking bet." And the guy at the cage goes, "I know, isn't that a cool bet?" I look at Becky, "See? The Las Vegas guys think it's a great bet." And then, of course, I lost $5,000 on John Collins. And that's why some people say I was very mean-spirited to John in his career here in Atlanta. Well, we all have agendas, but if ever there's a reason to have an agenda, I think that's legit, is it not?
Well, Mike, I will say this. With the way his career's gone in Utah, yeah, you may have been right on that one,
right,
sir.
So anyway, no more over-under bets on those. The heck with that. Hey, man, we'll come back. We'll talk about the Falcons. Chris has got a beef. What's grinding his gears? Why can't this team do what the teams in the playoffs do? And it's not that complicated. We'll explain next.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.